You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
And we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy and stimulating medical talk radio. Taking your calls at 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Your emails at drdahlia.com. Follow me on Twitter at drdahlia. A lot to talk about. Apparently, people with just slightly blood pressure that's raised, just borderline blood pressure, are also at risk for stroke. So for those of you that thought you were kind of in the clear and all you had to do is cut back on your salt, you may have to be treated, so we need to talk about that. Another E. coli scare, huge ground beef recall from Tyson, we need to talk about that. Big headline where Obamacare has finally hit the Supreme Court, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Doctors are now saying Americans are getting too much health care. Doctors think we give more patient care than is required. I actually agree with that, but I think there's a reason why. So we got a lot to talk about today, but of course I want to hear from you all at 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. All right, Americans are getting too much health care. We're doing too much. A new poll of primary care physicians, nearly half of them said their patients received too much medical care, and more than a quarter said they were practicing more aggressively than they'd like to. Right? They're ordering more tests, maybe prescribing more drugs, diagnosing people with more diseases. Which really, they say just 6% of doctors believe their patients were getting too little care. Only 6%, really? According to the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development, I don't know where they come up with these organizations, OECD, sounds like OECD to me, the U.S. spent $7,960 per capita on healthcare in 2009, which is $2,600 more than Norway, which was the runner-up. Okay, well, of course, the answer is liability, people. Okay, doctors are getting sued left and right, up and down, north and south, east and west. I told you about that one case where the internist had a patient with a headache, and so he ordered a CAT scan of the head. CAT scan was fine. Patient was still having headaches, so he thought, well, maybe, you know, because there's kind of in the sinus area, let's do a sinus CAT scan. He orders a sinus CAT scan. Clear, completely clear, still treats the patients for headaches. A few months later, patient's still having headaches, so he ordered an MRI. Orders the MRI. MRI was clear. Patient still has headaches. At the year mark, he's like, this is ridiculous. You're still having headaches? See a headache specialist. Go see the neurologist. Well, the neurologist decides to reorder the MRI. And when he reorders the MRI, he finds a brain tumor. Now, this doctor gets sued, and he actually loses the lawsuit because he didn't refer him to the neurologist sooner. After CAT scans and MRIs, he was supposed to refer him to a neurologist with all the normal tests? Apparently, yes, because of this failure to diagnose. We talk about this on air all the time. Failure to diagnose. When Michael Douglas was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer, I believe that was last year or 2 years ago. Yeah, I think it was last year. And Catherine Zeta-Jones was upset because he was diagnosed at the end of the summer. Yet he had a sore throat in the beginning of the summer 2 months prior. She was mad that they didn't catch it earlier. Now, of course, when somebody has stage 4 throat cancer, they've obviously had it for a lot longer than just 2 months. That sore throat could have just been or one of the mill sore throat. And he had the cancer, you know, long before that. But let's say there is a doctor who was seeing a patient for sore throats, gave him antibiotics. 6 months later, patient was having a little hoarseness, a little bit of a cough, sore throat, maybe reflux. So the doctor treats him for reflux, treats him for the sore throat. 6 months later, so the patient's only coming in a couple times a year. Finally, the doctor decides to send the patient to an ear, nose, and throat doctor. Ear, nose, and throat doctor finds throat cancer. Somebody is going to try to make a case that doctor should have referred them earlier. So what is starting to happen in a lot of our clinics? We're referring day one. We're not going to mess around. There was a huge lawsuit in the city where a doctor was treating a woman who had some hemorrhoids after she gave birth, some bleeding hemorrhoids, and he decides to get a gastroenterologist involved about 6-7 months into, you know, her just not improving. She ends up having rectal cancer. The doctor loses a $2.2 million lawsuit. Why? Because he didn't refer earlier. So what are we supposed to teach our medical students and our doctors coming out? We teach them, you get them to the specialist early because they're going to blame you for failure to diagnose. This is horrible. This is not the way to practice medicine. But it all depends on the attorney that these people get, and the prosecuting attorney can say, look, this is the data. If you would have referred him earlier, the patient would have lived. So the jury's like, oh my gosh, the patient would have lived. Why was the doctor so negligent? Why did he not care? Why didn't he refer? So it's forcing a lot of us to do tests and to do the referral so nobody could say we didn't. Now, what's the big deal about a lawsuit? Why are we so scared? Why are we so paranoid? One lawsuit can put you out. We've talked about this. One lawsuit. If you get sued and it's a big nitty-gritty one, an insurance company may not want to take you anymore. Why should they? If your premiums are $25,000 a year and they just had to pay out $2 million, they're not going to make their money back for many years. They drop you. Insurance companies will drop you too. Oh, what? You missed a rectal cancer? You missed a brain tumor? You're like, I didn't miss it. I did the appropriate referral. I didn't miss it. I did the referral. But because I didn't do it a couple months early, and the lawyer was a really good lawyer and was able to make a case that that would convince the jury, I lose insurance and being on the insurance list, that's horrible. Now, thank God I personally don't have any lawsuits. I know it's going to come. There's got to be. I mean, the statistics now, I believe, what is it? A doctor gets sued every 3 years, or one in three doctors get sued each year? I mean, very scary statistics. I know my luck's going to run out one day, but it's scary. Yes, we're ordering tests. Absolutely. And yes, healthcare costs are high. But until they do something in terms of tort reform or getting rid of this failure to diagnose is really the root of the malpractice claims that win. I mean, it's not, oh, the doctor was drunk. Yeah, there's probably a few of those. But it's you didn't do something sooner. Why? We're trying to save money. When we come back, more on the Dr. Dolly Show, 1-877-DOC-DOLLY.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
What? Don't want to work? Well, I've got you covered. Next summer is the third annual Dr. Dahlia cruise to Alaska. Yep, we are going to be leaving June 29th to July 5th, sailing out of Seattle and going up the exquisite coastline to Alaska, stopping at Skagway, Tracy Arm Fjord, Sawyer Glacier, Juneau, and of course, Victoria, British Columbia. Now, again, we've got a great group rate this year, and we're going to have parties, we're going to have prizes, and the most mind-blowing health classes you have ever attended, taught by yours truly, Dr. Dahlia. All right, so how do you book your cabin? You can email integrativetravel@gmail.com, go to our website at drdahlia.com, or you can call 1-800-890-2423. That's 1-800-890-2423. Come on, everybody. Let's go cruise.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold, hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E military.com, the main name in military supply.
Hello, this is Steve Shank with an urgent update from eFoods Direct. Folks, we're all fighting huge food price increases. eFoods Direct has been doing all we can this year to help you get food before the perfect storm of exploding food prices from the 2011 harvest. During September, eFoods is giving you free shipping on your food supply orders. But you have to understand, we're entering the eye of the food cost storm. Ethanol is boosting gas prices and driving corn costs so high our wheat for bread is going into animal feed, and pasta wheat cost has doubled since last year. I strongly advise you to get your order in before the free shipping deadline, September 30th. Free shipping, including Alaska and Hawaii, ends September 30th. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Remember, you can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338, utopiasilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
All right, we are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. This is Sassy and Stimulating Medical Talk Radio, taking your calls at 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Your emails at drdahlia.com. And please follow me on Twitter at drdahlia, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Okay, so we're talking about Americans getting too much health care, cost of health care rising. Of course, Obamacare now has finally hit the Supreme Court. The Obama administration has asked the Supreme Court now to make a ruling, as well as 26 states fighting the Affordable Health Care Act. We believe the Supreme Court is going to make a ruling in the summer of 2012. So it's still going to be before the election. Like I said earlier this evening, and I've said on the show multiple times, I just want an answer, right? We need to move forward. I think the whole mandate thing is absolutely ridiculous. Telling you can't tell an individual to purchase a product that you don't even know what the price is. You know, even if they think, oh, healthcare is only going to be $200-$300 a month. No, it won't be. No, it won't be. Please. You know, we talked about earlier in the show, in the previous hour, there was a gentleman in Arizona. I don't know if I have this anymore. There was a gentleman in Arizona who is a legal Mexican immigrant. Okay. He married a U.S. citizen in 2010, trying to apply for Social Security card and green card, had a medical mishap, had a horrible cardiac event, was hypoxic for about 10 minutes, now has brain damage. he's accrued about $120,000 in legal, in medical fees, $120,000 in medical fees. And they're going to the wife saying, look, he doesn't qualify for Medicaid. He doesn't have Medicaid. Who's going to pay this bill? And if you can't pay the bill, maybe you need to take it back to Mexico where he's from. And so that's stirring up a lot of controversy. And we talked about this in the first hour of the show. You know, well, who's going to be making these tough decisions? Baby Joseph died today. We've been talking about Baby Joseph. Baby Joseph was a baby that was from Canada who had a possibly a quote-unquote no hope for recovery, according to the Canadian Supreme Court system, and was denied getting a tracheotomy tube for a ventilator because he apparently was terminal. And they want, and the parents were upset by this, so they brought the baby to America, had the procedure done here in America so they could take the baby home on a ventilator. Baby just passed. And, I mean, very, very sad case. But, of course, you know, it brings up the topic of, you know, does government decide when to stop aid? And does, is government allowed to decide if they're the ones giving the aid? I mean, that's kind of scary. Do the taxpayers decide? Who makes these decisions? Who comes up with the aid? Who's, you know, who, how do we do this? I mean, this gentleman in Arizona, already his bill is $120,000. We don't know how the family's going to pay for it. And they said, you know, if he goes off life support, he only has about 4 days to live. So they're giving the wife the decision, life support or send him to Mexico. Now, he's a legal immigrant. He's not an illegal immigrant. Illegal immigrant, we've talked about this. Stabilize a chip. Okay? Don't even let him get to the point where it's $120,000 in medical bills. Stabilize and ship him back to the country where they're from. But now you have a legal resident married to a U.S. citizen, doesn't have Medicaid. Who pays? Who is going to pay his medical bills? Who should? Should we as a society? Should America take care of our sick? Should we? Or are we so in debt, are we in such a crisis that we're going to have to make decisions like with Baby Joseph or make a decision with this? I talked about last hour. Luckily, I don't have to decide that. I'm not a politician. I'm not the one making the laws. It's a very difficult decision. I don't want to make that decision. As a doctor, I get to say go for broke. Treat everybody. Don't stop treating. I took the Hippocratic Oath. Do no harm. I'm not going to shut a machine off. No way. I don't have to worry about the finances. I don't have to worry about the taxpayer dollars. I get to say go for broke. But we all as taxpayers and the politicians have to make a decision. Are we going to start saying no more? Are we going to start saying no? I'm sorry. You've had multiple doctors look at this case. Your baby will not get the procedure. Who's going to decide that? Should it be a panel of doctors? Should it be Sebelius's panels? Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius is going to come up with panels. Who's going to do these panels? So pretty scary stuff. Let's go to some of your emails at drdahlia.com. Doctor, I just changed insurances to Aetna, but had horrible insurance this last year. I had an HMO. When I was sick with gastroenteritis, my doctor had a one-month wait. Now I could get in same day. Why is there such a discrepancy? Oh, I hear that a lot. I hear that a lot. Somebody has an HMO, and their doctor won't see them for a month. They get a different insurance, and the doctor will see them same day. Oh, he's busted. He got caught. All right. Do you guys know how HMOs are run? I mean, do you guys know the gist of what the HMO is? What the HMO does is they tell the doctor, look, here's a list of patients that are yours. Maybe 200 people on the list, 500, 1,000. This is the list. We're going to give you $1,500 a month or $2,000 a month or $2,500 a month. Okay? We're going to give you $2,500 a month no matter what, whether you see any of these 500 patients or 1,000 patients or not. Okay? If you see the patient 5-6 times a month, you still get the same amount that month, $2,500. If you don't see that many patients, you still get the same amount. So for a lot of doctors starting out, it sounds kind of good. It sounds kind of good. Okay? I actually belong to one of the HMOs. Now, I belong to it because, I mean, honestly, I thought, you know, why turn down any insurance? Be on all insurance. Be on Medicare, be on Medicaid, be on the HMOs, why not? So I did. Okay? And then, you know, somebody would come in, they needed skin tags, they needed procedures, so I would do them. You know, I spent money on the extra supplies, I would do the procedure, but no, I didn't get paid extra. And, you know, my partner said, Dahlia, why did you do a procedure on an HMO patient? And I'm like, well, because I'm his doctor. He needed something done. He's like, yeah, but you're not getting paid any more money. So you did probably $1,000 worth of surgery for free. I remember he had tons of skin tags and tons of skin lesions, but I love the stuff. I mean, I had really nothing better to do. I wasn't completely packed, so I don't regret it. But, you know, so I'm like, oh, so I guess if you have HMO patients, you need to refer them out, because if you take an hour or an hour and a half of your day doing surgical procedures, you're going to lose money because you're not going to be seeing your other patients. And I didn't like that idea, but I was like, ah, well, that stinks. Because, I mean, I want to take care of my patients in their entirety. I didn't want to refer when I first started practice. And then all of a sudden, you'd have patients that were your frequent flyers, and they would be coming in 2-3 times a week. All right, so now that's 12 visits for one patient, and then you said the list increase. So we later figured out we were averaging about $10 a patient visit. Now, we also found out that a lot of these patients weren't paying their copays, so then some people that had a $10 copay, you were making zero on. Now, that could happen with anybody, HMO or non-HMO, okay? We're not discriminating against just HMO, but we saw it with both sides of the coin. Well, at $10 a patient, when you start to average that, it still wasn't making sense, but we still didn't drop it. Again, because, again, we were poor doctors just starting out, no reason. The reason why I dropped the HMO is none of the surgeons I worked with who I was comfortable with took it. So when we had to refer a patient to a surgeon, I had to basically cover my eyes, circle my finger around, and slap it down on the paper and pick one. So we picked one. The patient had an adverse event and was mad at us because we referred him to that doctor. We're like, well, we had to. He was on your HMO list. Well, luckily, we didn't get sued because we didn't really do anything wrong. The other doctor had an adverse event. I'm not really sure whatever happened with that. But I'm like, to heck with this. If the doctors I know, the doctors I trust, the doctors I work with aren't taking the HMO, I can't do it. So I stopped taking the HMO. But the reason I'm telling you that story is, you see, here you are, you're getting sick. If the doctor thinks he already reached his maximum of HMO patients, he's going to say, we'll get you in a month later. It's a shame doctors do that, and most of the doctors I know that take HMOs don't, but I know what happens out there, and it looks like that's what happens here with your doctor. So basically, if you're sick and he says, come in a month, that's his way of saying he doesn't want to see you. That's not good. Yet now you switch to a PPO, so the doctor's getting paid per visit. Of course, there's incentive for him to see you. When it's an HMO and the doctor's getting paid a flat rate, there's no incentive for him to see you extra amounts of time. Now, healthcare tried to go the HMO route years ago because that would save a heck of a lot of money. Because then doctors won't have you come back for follow-ups. They'll see you once, send you on your way. If you can't go to the doctor multiple times, that saves money. It saves money on prescriptions. It saves money on time. It saves money. But doctors didn't like it. Doctors weren't going on the HMOs. Patients didn't like it. Now, they may have to go back to HMOs to figure out how to pay for healthcare for everybody, but what good is it if you can't get in with your doctor? I can't tell you how many of my patients actually will come in and see me cash saying, look, my doctor has an HMO and he won't get me in. And there's been little scouting studies where people will call and, you know, pretend to have two different insurances. And when they call up saying they have the second insurance for the same issue, the doctor will get them in. It's a sad case, but honestly, it's going to be very hard to have a medical system where doctors aren't getting paid fee for service. Now, one big criticism of the healthcare system is they're saying doctors are ordering tests because they make more money per test. That's not why doctors are ordering tests. We're ordering tests because we need to figure out what's wrong with you for a variety of reasons. But you see how involuted the problem is, convoluted. All right, when we come back, more on the Dr. Dolly Show, 1-877-DOC-DOLLY.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What? Don't want to work? Well, I've got you covered. Next summer is the third annual Dr. Dahlia cruise to Alaska. Yep, we are going to be leaving June 29th to July 5th, sailing out of Seattle and going up the exquisite coastline to Alaska, stopping at Skagway, Tracy Arm Fjord, Sawyer Glacier, Juneau, and of course, Victoria, British Columbia. Now, again, we've got a great group rig this year, and we're going to have parties, we're going to have prizes, and the most mind-blowing health classes you have ever attended, taught by yours truly, Dr. Dahlia. All right, so how do you book your cabin?
you can email integrativetravel@gmail.com, go to our website at drdahlia.com, or you can call 1-800-890-2423. That's 1-800-890-2423. Come on, everybody. Let's go cruise.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. And most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Attention, all Medicare beneficiaries who need assistance getting around their homes. There is a Medicare benefit that may qualify you for a power chair or scooter at little to no cost to you. Imagine one scooter or power chair that could improve your mobility and your life. One Medicare benefit that, with private insurance, may entitle you to pay little to nothing to own it. One company that can make it all happen.
Your power chair will be paid in full.
The Scooter Store.
Hi, I'm Doug Harrison. We're experts at getting you the power chair or scooter you need. In fact, if we qualify you for Medicare reimbursement and Medicare denies your claim, we'll give you your power chair or scooter free.
I didn't pay a penny out of pocket for my power chair.
Call the Scooter Store for free information today.
Call 1-800-619-1414. Some restrictions apply. Call for details. 1-800-619-1414. That's 1-800-619-1414.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Medical Talk Radio, taking your calls at 1-877-DOC-DALI, 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 streaming live on GCNlive.com, streaming live 6 to 9 Pacific Standard Time, PM 9 to 12 Eastern Standard Time, 9 to midnight, sorry, Eastern Standard Time. If you can't catch me live streaming online, please still call in at 1-877-DOC-DALI, and we will play your question on air, and hopefully you'll be able to hear me on my multiple affiliates, including XM, that's playing throughout the country. And thank you all again for tuning in. Okay, anytime there's news on this Jared Loughner, I just get so mad, and I can't look at his mugshot. I can't look at this guy. Apparently, a federal judge has ruled that Jared Loughner can be made mentally fit to stand trial. He suffers from schizophrenia, and, you know, he has pleaded not guilty to 49 charges stemming from the January 8th shooting, in which six people were killed, and Representative Gabrielle Giffords, as well as 12 others, were wounded. Now, what drives me crazy and what I am so confused about is why they thought he was mentally unfit to stand trial to begin with. Listen to this. They say he's making progress. This is crazy, okay? Because remember, do you remember they went through the timeline of everything he did prior to the shooting? The night before, I believe he went to Walmart. He went to Circle K. He picked up film, dropped film off, went and then picked up the film once it was, developed. Then he got pulled over at a traffic light, had a conversation with the police officer, got out of the ticket, was able to continue driving, went back to, I believe, another Circle K, back to another Walmart. Very, very busy last 12 to 24 hours prior to the shooting. Now, they say Loeffner, get this, has made progress in making more eye contact with people, improving his personal hygiene, and pacing less. Was he pacing the day of the shooting? Sounds like he was walking in and out of convenience stores without a problem. He must have made some eye contact with the police officer that pulled him over at a traffic light. Because if he wasn't making eye contact or acting at all schizophrenic or mentally ill, I'm sure the traffic cop would have pulled him out of the car or somebody at the convenience store. If he was pacing, not able to make eye contact, how would he be able to drop off film, pick it up, purchase ammunition? Does anybody see why this is completely kooky? What happened to him from before the shooting to after, where now all of a sudden he's pacing and he can't make eye contact? The guy's faking it. Even if he has schizophrenia, he was competent enough to make all the steps and do all the errands he did prior to the shooting. Thank God a judge said he's mentally competent. Let's try him. Give him the chair already. This is ridiculous. Incompetent. The guy is completely incompetent in terms of, you know, he should not be living on his own. He should not be in society. He's a menace. He's a danger. He's a threat. But I mean, incompetent to stand trial. What? They're going to lock him up in a mental institution for life? What are they going to do? Oh no, we're going to give him therapy. We're going to try to rehab him. What? Are you crazy? This was calculated. He did multiple errands. He seemed to have some level of competency to drive a car and to purchase the ammunition and to make it to where the press conference was. This is baloney, people. Try him and fry him. I am sick of this. It's wasting taxpayer dollars. There's a chance this guy could maybe even get off. Why are you playing around? Don't play around with this. I'm just frustrated. Okay. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. All right. So in medical news today, study came out. I know this really ticks a lot of us off because, I mean, I can't stand it when they keep lowering the threshold, but it makes sense that they do. They say people that have slightly raised blood pressure, the pre-hypertension, are also at risk for stroke. So whether you have high blood pressure or where you're pre-high blood pressure, you're at risk for stroke. We talked about earlier in the show where with diabetes, if you have your diabetes in tight control, you're still at risk for dementia, diabetic-related dementia. Oh, so then what's the point? Why do I have to get my sugar in control? Well, you got to get your sugar in control because you want to save your eyes, you want to save your heart. You know, there's a lot of good to keeping your sugar in control. You don't want to lose your feet to an infection. But what that maybe signifies is maybe there's more to diabetes than just your sugar. Maybe the diabetic process is really arteriosclerosing, and you have damage before you're even diagnosed with diabetes, and that damage is irreversible. Maybe that's what's going on with high blood pressure. Now, what is pre-hypertension? What is slightly raised high blood pressure? They say the systolic, which is your top number, which is your pumping pressure, that should if that's between 120 and 139, that's pre-hypertensive. And if your diastolic, your filling blood pressure, is between 80 and 89. So if you are 125 over 80, you are pre-hypertensive. What? Really? Yes, I'm sorry. I'm not making these guidelines. 125 over 80 isn't normal anymore. 120 over 70, I like. 116 over 65 is good. For some people, that may be a little low for them. But honestly, pre-hypertensive could be 120 over 80. We also talked about kids. You know, people will bring their kids in for a doctor's visit, and you'll have a 10-year-old with a blood pressure of 120 over 80. That's too high for a kid. That's too high. All right, so now what does that mean? We all have to go on medication if our blood pressure is over 120 over 80? Well, not yet. But it's time to start thinking about things. Cut back on your salt. Cut back on your alcohol. Cut back on your caffeine. Try to lose some weight. Try to cut back on the stress. Exercise. Exercise lowers blood pressure. But I think a lot of us are pre-hypertensive, and we don't get diagnosed because, you know, we're anti-medicine. You know, I mean, I had a patient, he was 140 over 90. He fought me tooth and nail. He didn't want to go on medicine. So I'm like, all right, well, diet and exercise. Diet and exercise didn't do anything because that's not why his blood pressure was high. We've talked about reasons for high blood pressure. Sometimes you could, you know, be fluid overloaded. Sometimes you could have a fast heart rate. Sometimes you could have stiff vessels. And sometimes you have this angiotensin renin system that kind of works incompetently, where it can cause vessel constriction and cause your blood pressure to rise. And that's why the different medicines, your diuretic, high blood beta blockers, calcium channel blockers, and ACE inhibitors, ARBs, respectively, handle those different aspects of high blood pressure. And so, you know, I try to tell a person to lay off the salt. Yeah, you got to lay off the salt because if you eat more salt, you retain more fluid. But that's not why a lot of people have high blood pressure. There's other reasons for it. We talked about FDR. FDR had high blood pressure, had a hemorrhagic stroke. Some believe he died from the hemorrhagic stroke from his high blood pressure. Some believe he died from malignant melanoma. You can see on my Facebook, I have pictures of FDR, and you see the melanoma on his forehead. And you see as he's later in pregnancy, the darker it gets. So a lot of people didn't know that. I believe they discovered that later, that he possibly died from that. But he was on a diuretic. That's what they had back then, a water pill. You gave a diuretic, you dehydrate somebody, you hope the blood pressure goes down. So, you know, a lot of you that are borderline, it needs to be watched. Now I get people going, but doctor, I got white coat hypertension. It's white coat. My blood pressure is only high when I go to the doctor. And I get tired of that because I think there's a lot more stressful events in your day-to-day life than going to the doctor. Okay, I know I'm not the most relaxed individual and a relaxing individual. I know I don't have pretty music playing in the background. I can understand going to the doctor, you get nervous. I get nervous going to the doctor. All right, I can understand that. But, you know, listen, if you get nervous and your blood pressure goes up, then if you get excited, your blood pressure goes up. So if a white coat makes your blood pressure go up, a G-string will make your blood pressure go up too. People, all right? So stress, nightmares, having sex can make your blood pressure go up. So just don't blow off pre-hypertension. Make sure you get it evaluated. All right, when we come back, more on the Dr. Dolly Show, Lyme disease and autism. There may be a link. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What? Don't want to work? Well, I've got you covered. Next summer is the third annual Dr. Dahlia cruise to Alaska. Yep, we are going to be leaving June 29th to July 5th, sailing out of Seattle and going up the exquisite coastline to Alaska, stopping at Skagway, Tracy Arm Fjord, Sawyer Glacier, Juneau, and of course, Victoria, British Columbia. Now, again, we got a great group break this year, and we're going to have parties, we're going to have prizes, and the most mind-blowing health classes you have ever attended, taught by yours truly, Dr. Dahlia. All right, so how do you book your cabin? You can email integrativetravel@gmail.com, go to our website at drdahlia.com, or you can call 1-800-890-2423. That's 1-800-890-2423. Come on, everybody. Let's go cruise.
Life Before the Collapse. Vinyl LP by the Las Vegas.
even when your good friends lock you out.
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180 gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall.
Why don't want me to live yet?
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Hey Brian, if you could do just one thing today to ensure your family's food security, what would it be?
That's easy, Bill. I'd head straight to soupbeansurvival.com.
Soupbeansurvival.com?
I know, Bill, it sounds crazy, but this ancient secret has been around for over 8,000 years, and it truly is nature's super survival food.
Really, Brian? The number one survival food? Well, certainly the forgotten survival food.
Absolutely, Bill. The folks at soupbeansurvival.com scoured our planet to find the very best heirloom seeds, to truly find nature's super survival food.
Brian, these aren't grocery store beans, are they?
No way, Bill. You're not going to find these beans in any grocery store. These are the absolute highest quality beans in the world. Visit soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com for all the information you're going to need for nature's super survival food.
The Dr. Dahlia Show, sassy and stimulating medical talk radio. Taking your calls at 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOC-DALI. Your emails at drdahlia.com, drdahlia.com. And, of course, please follow me on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia. All right, so this is very interesting. Doctors might have found a link between Lyme disease and autism. Now, this wouldn't be all autistic children, but they believe there's something called Lyme disease autism. Now, how they figured this out was Mary Hendricks, 19 years old, was diagnosed with a severe case of autism, but she also had symptoms of digestive problems, skin infections, pain, etc. Now, the mother of this daughter, this 19-year-old, had suffered from colitis, fibromyalgia, flu-like symptoms. Well, doctors decided to order a Lyme test on Mary because she was having other issues. Okay. It wasn't that they were evaluating the autism. They just want to evaluate the other issues. And she turned out to be Lyme disease positive. Then they talked to the mother, and the mother said, Before she got pregnant with Mary, she had a couple ticks on her. They were removed from her skin, and she hadn't thought about it since. So they tested the mom. Mom was positive for Lyme disease exposure as well. They start treating these ladies, and the autistic type of behavior with Mary starts to subside. That is spooky. Now, I mean, should we test all our autistic kids for Lyme disease? I mean, we could. I know Obamacare is not going to be too happy with that because of the cost. And most likely autism. Remember, we think autism is linked genetically. But in this particular case, they think Mary genetically received the Lyme disease from her mother. The mother didn't get sick, was asymptomatic, but gave it to the daughter. The daughter had issues in utero Lyme disease and then ended up having autistic type properties. So now I don't know if the daughter is completely cured, but the fact that they found a lot of autistic type symptoms subside, fascinating stuff. Now, we have autism in our family. There's my nieces and nephews. We have four of them on the autism spectrum. We have two with Asperger's and then two with full-blown autism. And so, you know, in that family line, we think there must have been a gene, must have been a gene or something. Great kids. Luckily, the younger kids got therapy early, so they're starting to be higher functional autistic kids, just adorable little ones. But, you know, so in that case, I doubt it would be Lyme disease, you know, but, you know, you just wonder. You just wonder. So this was a pretty cool advancement. I am pretty excited with that. All right. Let's go to your emails, 1-877-DOC-DALIA for phone lines, 1-877-DOC-DALI, and emails. You can reach me at drdalia.com. Doctor, my 15-year-old used to be a straight-A student this year, but now – no, he was a straight-A student, but now this year he is already failing tests. The teacher thinks it could be ADD. How do I get this evaluated? Okay, ADD? No. Okay, wait, so he had perfect grades last year? And now he's failing his test. The first thing I think of is drugs. I think the kid's probably doing pot or doing drugs. What's going on with him? I mean, straight A student, then all of a sudden, I mean, if he had ADD, you'd probably see some ADD symptoms, you know, years ago. And if he did well, you know, maybe, you know, some people do have ADD issues, but, you know, not enough to medicate. But I mean, if he had straight A students 1 year and all of a sudden the grades go down, you got to do a drug test. You have to. Now, if the teacher thinks it's ADD, you want to get this evaluated, of course you should have him see his pediatrician or his family doctor or internist, whoever will see a 15-year-old. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt maybe to have a psychologist or a psychiatrist do an evaluation. You know, a lot of us walk around with ADD. It doesn't mean we have to be medicated. There could be some behavioral type treatments that we could do. But whenever a kid does really, really well, and then all of a sudden you see that drop, you got to get a drug test. I'm sorry. Now, also you need to screen for depression. You know, did he break up with somebody? Is it a teacher issue? Is, you know, he not sleeping? You know, but honestly, alcohol and drugs comes to my mind. Now, you know, I had a patient actually today, a very similar issue going on with her son. And, you know, she kind of doesn't like the friends that the son is hanging around. And, you know, I told her, you need to do distraction with your kids. Distraction is so important. One way of distraction is getting the kid involved with your church, having your child do community service, have your child, you know, maybe get a job, maybe work at your place of work. But distraction definitely comes in handy, because when these kids get bored and they start hanging with their kid, you know, hanging with friends, and these kids get bored, they do stupid things. They do real stupid things. So that's I don't know, an option. I'm just, I just really get frustrated when you see these kids go downhill making stupid decisions. And kids make stupid decisions all the time. You know, I mean, it just baffles me. So a study came out today saying teens are more likely to drink the way their romantic partner's friends drink. Okay, so let's say your daughter is dating a football player, and the football player has buddies that guzzle beer. What this study says is you're seeing these girls start guzzling beer because they want to bond with their boyfriend the way their friends do. Come on, really? Guys don't think that's attractive, girls. guys don't think that's attractive. I mean, I can't speak for guys, but honestly, you know, guys like their girls being, I don't know, they don't want you belching and vomiting. And I mean, you know, they may want you drunk. I mean, some may, you know, want to get you drunk and, you know, tipsy. But no, I don't think that's attractive. You know, you can't compete with your guy's buddies. You can't. I tried. You know, I always got along. I always got along with guys and guy friends. I mean, I get along with women too, but I like sports. I like cars. I like working on my car. I just always seem to have more in common. I didn't shop. You know, I mean, a lot of my friends that hit the sales, I never really had money. I was working 2-3 jobs when I was going through college. Never had time, never had money. So, no. I mean, I just always got along with the guys. And you don't try to be one of the guys. You guys don't want that. Guys don't like talking sports with women. Trust me, I've done it. Well, especially since the way I do my picks. You know, a lot of guys don't like it. I do my picks. You all know how I do my picks. I go to the NFL injury report, and I look at the injury report, and based on the type of injury, I decide what's worse for the team. And whoever has more groin injuries is going to lose. I've been right maybe 80% of the time. You guys don't like that. Guys don't like that at all. You know, well, they look good in the blue pants or the white pants or the black, right? The Saints look really good in black. Black's dominant, right? In medicine, if you have yellow versus green, yellow is urine, bile is green. Bile stronger. See, guys just don't get that. So, girls, don't try to be one of the guys. And please, don't be drinking inappropriately. Now, do guys drink like their girlfriends? Do they start getting the foo-foo drinks? Do they get the apple teenies? That would kind of creep me out. If I was dating a guy who all of a sudden goes, I would like an apple teeny with a little whipped cream and sugar rim. I'd be like, wait a second. So, you know, it's the girls doing this, this behavior. Honestly, you know, I'm raising two boys. I don't know how I would raise a girl in this day and age because, you know, I remember what I did as a girl. And, I mean, I wasn't the biggest hoochie mama, but I definitely would not have made my parents proud in terms of, you know, trying to, you know, drink and fit in and et cetera. And, you know, it's really, really sad because these kids are warped. We always say youth is wasted on the young. It is. And these kids make very, very dumb decisions. So just take a look, see what the kids are doing. And you just have to be. You have to be on top of it, parents. You cannot, just like with the mom whose kids are failing, you have to be on top of it. Know that they're failing. Talk to your kid's teacher. Well, he's in high school. That's going to embarrass him. Uh-uh. Well, you know what y'all should be doing is when you enroll your kid in school, you meet the teacher. Why not? And if he's too embarrassed for you to meet the teacher without him or her, okay? And if the teacher won't meet you, I would give them a call and get an email. And just say, look, I'd like to be in touch because I'm a very active parent. And I want to make sure that my kid isn't, you know, falling by the wayside. All right, we will be back. Don't go away. We'll be back tomorrow. Keep the calls coming at 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. You all be safe.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charger offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.